Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Kesubos Daf Samach Hazayin. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Alan Silverstein, Aaron Eliyahu, and Shapsi Yehuda, and also Rabbi Theodore Adams, Tuvia Aryeh Ben Rufoel. All the Shalms we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. And we begin the Gemara on Samach Hazayin Omer Aleph with the words Tanya, five lines on the top of Samach Hazayin Omer Aleph. So the Brisa says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, Relazar, who's the son of Rabbi Tzadok, said, Rebbe Nechama, this is a Lashon of Shvuah. It says literally that I should see the Nechama, but it's really translated as I should not see the Nechama if what I'm saying is not true. He doesn't want to curse himself, so he doesn't say I shall not see the Nechama, because we've said previously that it could be Shigaga Yotzemi Ashalit. So it could be if somebody says something, it's Tiftach Pelu Satan, and it's as if a ruling came out erroneously from the Melech, but still the ruling is true. So he said, Rebbe Nechama, I should see the Nechama, even though he means I shall not see the Nechama. Meaning, I want to tell you that this definitely happened. In Lori Yisia, Shoysen Laketes Saorim Mibain Talfe Susim Biako. This continues to tell us about Nachdimon Ben Gurion's daughter, who we ended off the share yesterday, telling us Nebuch how wealthy she originally was, how large her ksuba was in Nebuch, but the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, how impoverished she became, that she had to go pick out the barley seeds from the excrement of the animals. So, Rabbi Elazar of Tzadok said the same thing. I saw myself that she was taking, she was gathering in, sowing the barley, mibein talfei susim biako, in between the hooves of the horses in Akko. And he said about her, karasi aleha, the following pasuk, mikrozet. This pasuk is a pasuk that we read from Shir HaShirim, where it says, in lo seidi loch hayofo banashim, if you do not know where to go, you most beautiful amongst the women, tzi loch biikvei hatzon, go and graze amongst the ikve hatzon. What does that mean? Uri es gidio sayach, and go and pasture, go and graze your animals over there. So al tikri gidio sayach, don't read this as your gidi, your kids, your goats. Ella, read it as givio sayach, your own body. In other words, Nebuch, you're going to have to go and go where the animals are and go pick out these seeds, Debuch, that are left in between the hooves of the horses and the excrement of the animals in order to feed yourself. Debuch, that's how bad things will become. Amr Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Amr Rav Yochanan. Rav Shemin Bar Abba said, Amr Rav Yochanan, Hechnitza lo zav, if a woman had in her dowry, in her nedunya, gold, so then, shaman oso, then we do list it as gold, vahare hu, kishovyo. However, in this situation, we don't add on the extra 50% that we said you add off for ready cash, because gold is not easily usable as currency. It's not something that you can walk into a store and go buy something with gold. So therefore, it's not as easily usable as regular money, and therefore, we don't undervalue it, we don't diminish it by a fifth, because it doesn't go down in value, it doesn't get depreciated, and they don't exaggerate it, because it's a set amount, and therefore, you don't have to take off a fifth from it, but at the same time, you don't add the 50% that we said you add if a person brings into the dowry, if the father of the bride brings into the dowry 1,000 dinarim, so we said, so you mark it in as the ksuba as 1,500 dinar. Okay. That's what Rav Shemin Bar Abba said in Rav Yochanan. The Gemara questions this and says, Meisvi, wait a second, it seems to go against the Braisa. The Braisa says, Hazov Harehu Kekalim, that gold is treated in the same way that we treat Kalim. Now, what type of Kalim are we talking about? The Gemara says the Braisa is telling us, my lav ki kalim shel kesef. Isn't this referring to kalim of kesef, silver utensils, de parse, which are brought in, and then we deduct the fifth from them, so therefore the gold should be the same, the Braisa says, as these kalim of kesef, of silver, and therefore it should be deducted to 20%. So one says, no, lo, that's incorrect. Ki kalim shel zav, de lo parse. We're dealing here that we treat gold, Rashi says this gold is chatichozov, pieces of gold. We treat them, they're not coins, we treat these pieces of gold as if they were utensils of gold. And the utensils of gold don't depreciate, and therefore you don't have to go and deduct the chomesh that you normally deduct for things, because we assume they either depreciate or that they were over-evaluated. Again, it's not money, so we don't have to add on the 50%, but we don't depreciate it and deduct 20%. Moore says, then the language is wrong. If you're telling me that Zav means Harehu Kekalim, so it means that it's like the gold Kalim, Imkain Kekalov Miboile. You should have said Hazav Harehu Kekalov. Gold pieces, Chatichol Shel Zav, are treated like gold utensils that don't depreciate in value, and therefore they don't get devaluated by a fifth. That's what it should have said, kikkei lav, but instead it said kikkei lim. Ultimately, the Gemara will say that this will be left with a kasha. You're right, the words over here are a little bit difficult. But first, the Gemara continues to ask another shaila against Rav Shemin bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan's statement. Oh, Tanya, furthermore, it says in another brisa, Zav harehu kikelim. Zav is treated like kelim. We'll ask in a moment, what type of kelim are we dealing with? And dinrei zav, if you have coins of gold, harehen kiksofen, that's considered like money. That's real money, because gold coins are considered something that you can easily go and exchange, and therefore they're treated like money, and you'd have to add on 50% more to the ksuba. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, it depends. Not all gold coins are easily usable as currency. The Malkum Shinagu Shalola Parton, where it was very difficult in a place where they couldn't easily exchange them, so then they're not usable currency, and that type of a place, Shomen Osan Vahre Ein Bishoveyin, in that place, they would evaluate them as their actual value. They wouldn't deduct the fifth, but they wouldn't add on 50% as well. They would just treat them as they were exactly evaluated. Now, I read these words the way they're written, but the Gemara now questions this and says, how do we understand this brisa? That it should be a question on Rav Shemin bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Again, Rav Shemin bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan said that pieces of gold are considered like kalim of gold and that they don't depreciate. You don't have to deduct the fifth, the 20%. So, how do we get to the question on Rav Shemin? So, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel made a statement that in a place where they don't go and exchange the gold, so then you don't have to go and add on the 50%, but you don't depreciate it, the fifth, the 20% as well. Now, Ilema said, if he was going on the second part of the Tanakhama statement, the Tanakhama made two statements. The first one was that Zov Hareyu Kikalim, and the second was Dinrei Zov Harein Kiksofim. So if you're telling me this goes on, the din rezov harehim kisofin, that it's treated as money, is that what he's going on? Ilema sefer. So then miklal, that implies that the Tanakhama's opinion is different. The Tanakhama sefer, afil b'mochem shenagu shalol parton, even in places where they don't exchange them, they're considered like money. But how can that be? Holonavki, they aren't exchanged in those places. So how could he disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel? So obviously, that's not what Rav Shimon Gamliel's statement is going on, because the Tanakham wouldn't disagree with that. El alava reisha. It must be on the reisha. What was the reisha? The reisha was when he says, Zov, harehu kikalim. The Zov is like kalim. So what does he mean there? V'halchi kamar. Zov, harehu kikalim. When he says that the Zov is like kalim, what type of kalim is he referring to? My kalim, kalim shel kesef. And therefore, the Tanakhama says that Zov is treated like kalim shel kesef, which do depreciate. And that's going to be akasha. Rav Shemin said that it doesn't depreciate, and here the Chachamim, which is the majority opinion, says that it does depreciate. Okay, along comes Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Harei Hu Kidar Mishol Zahav, B'Mokum Shenagu Shelo Leparton. He says we treat it like Dinar Mishol Zahav, which is in a place where they don't exchange it, you don't have to add on the 50%, but you also don't have to deduct the 20%. The bottom line is that the Chachamim's opinion is that we treat it like silver, and it does depreciate. But Rav Shemin said it doesn't depreciate. So therefore, kasha on Rav Shemin. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not a kasha. Because Leolam, in fact, a sefer. Rav Shimon Gamliel's statement actually goes on the sefer, that we said that dinare zov are like ksofim. And the difference between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel is udinafke aydedchak. We're talking about a place where, yes, these dinarim are potentially transferable into, exchangeable into smaller coins, but it's difficult to do so. It's like walking into a bank with a $100,000 bill. Not every bank's going to be able to cash that for you. So therefore, this is what the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel are arguing about. The Tanakhama says, Mar Sovar Kivan Denofke Mashbechinon Law. Since, in fact, you could go and exchange it, albeit it's not easy to do so, so then we treat it as kesef, and you have to go in there 50% because it's ready cash, albeit it's not as ready as other types of cash, but it's still considered ready cash. As opposed to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mar Sovar, no. Kivan Denofke, okay, Eli the Atrak, since it doesn't get easily exchanged, because most places can't easily exchange such gold, lo mishabachin olay. Therefore, we don't go and up the value to be considered like ready cash, and you have to add on 50% in the ksuba, but we treat it just exactly as it is at its face value. That's terrace number one. Teres number two, we buy the same kula Rav Shimon Gamliel. He read the entire brisa as one statement of Rav Shimon Gamliel. It is not a Tana Kama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's all Rav Shimon Gamliel. And how do you read it? The chisuri merser of Achitani. There are words missing. Mentioned many times that Rebbe didn't want to write down the Shnayis, but he had no choice because the people were forgetting them, so he wrote them down. But he wanted to go and leave a mark over here that this wasn't really the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This should be the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he had to write it down because sometimes if you don't write it down, it's going to get lost. You're allowed to sometimes break the Torah, again, under very, very rare circumstances, to save the Torah. So this is what Rebbe felt was necessary, but he would leave out certain parts so people would remember that this wasn't something that should be written down. And therefore, this was left out, and this is the way you should read the Braisa. Zov, Harehu Kekelim. The Braisa starts off and says that Zov is treated like Kelim of Zohav. Dinrei Zov, and the second part of the Braisa, is the Narim of Zov, actual coins of Zov, also Harei Hein Kiksofim, or just like regular coins of silver. But under what circumstances? In the place where you can exchange them easily, there they're considered like silver, and you'd have to go and add on 50% to the ksuba because it's ready cash. But in a place where it was difficult to go and exchange them for money, so then there we go and evaluate them, and we don't have to add on 50%. We don't deduct 20%. They're evaluated exactly as their worth is. And this is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And now Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, because we have him definitively stating that in a place where they don't exchange these gold coins easily, so we treat it as exactly its value. We don't add on 50%. We don't deduct 20%. That's teretz number two. So new. We still have the question that I pointed out before. We call Malcolm in the Brisa. Why did it say that we treat the Zohav Harehu Kekelim? It should have said Zohav Harehu Kekelov. We call Malcolm Kekelov Mi Boyle. And that talk is a problem. The Gemara says Kasha. You're right. That's a Kasha. Third Teretz Gemara is boy. He's saying, "Well, how am I asking? You know, we're dealing with over here in the Brisa. Bidava Pricha. What is Dava Pricha?" So Rashi in Dira Maskel Vibay Seima tells us that this is Dava Pricha, is Grutos Dakos Shinova Mem. These are little pieces or chips that fall off the gold coins. Kishin Rimashim Mem. When you go and use them, so little pieces of gold will sometimes come off. This is not treated like gold. This is something which does get diminished when you use it, and therefore you do deduct the 20% for this. And therefore, it's kekelim shel kesef, which are depreciated. Alternatively, Rav Ashi Amar b'mimola was b'mimola. So Rashi says, dak shel zov. This is like the gold dust, shikorin pala, which Rashi elsewhere tells us in the Lazi Rashi, this is zov anilkat mino oretz mimotso. This is the gold that you take out from the ground, and it's like gold dust. So also, this does depreciate. So this is treated like the silver utensils. But otherwise, gold coins are not treated like the silver utensils. Amar Vyani, Ravyani says, the following is true, that we treat other things like money as well, that you'd have to add on 50% to their value, because even though they're not money, but they're used like money, they're considered like currency in certain places. So, besamim shel antuchia, the besamim that were sold in antuchia, Rashi says, in Dira Maskel, besamim shel antuchia, hu ikar scharas, and this was their main parnasa, this was the main type of a business in that town, and if she brought in an evaluation, it was like she brought in money, because this was readily transferable as money, because this is what everybody's doing business in this town. Therefore, you have to add on the third, a third from the outside, which is a half from the inside. So the person who brought in, let's say, a 1,000 dinarim of besamim would get, in the ksuba, written down 1,500 of dinarim for the besamim shel antuchia. Harehen kiksof, and we treated them like money. Similarly, Amr Shul bar Nachmeni, Amr, now the Gisri Rebbe is Rav Yochanan, but in the Mesoros HaShas, Ozvav, he says it should be Rav Yonasan. In any event, he said, Kimalim Shel Arabia, that the camels that came from Arabia, in Arabia, also that was like ready currency. He should go over Parna Mehem. Parna is Revach Shlish. You add in the extra third, again, a third from the outside, a half from the inside. Again, 1,000 to 1,500. The 500 you added on is 500 is half of 1,000, or it's a third of 1,500. So it's considered also ready cash, these Gemalim Shel Arabia, because that's what they did business with over there, and you could easily sell it. So it could easily be considered like money. He should go over Parna Mehem. And the woman could go collect the Parna, this extra Revach from them. Likewise, Amar Papi, Rapapi said, in a certain place, Bei Mirse, Hani Tosvei de Bei Mirse, these Tosvei, they are simlos that came from this place, Bei Mirse, certain types of clothing. So Isha Govi Parnamiyam. Likewise, they're evaluated up by 50% because this was, again, like ready cash. And similarly, Amar Rapapi, he said, Hani Sake de Rodya, these sacks that came from Roja, a certain place, Ashley Rashi tells us are chavolim, robes, that come from the Kimchonya, come from a certain place, Kimchonya. These are also Ishagova Parnamian, these are also like ready cash. It must have been that these places did a lot of business with them, and therefore if you brought this into the dowry, you had to up the dowry by 50% because this was so easily to use, so easy to invest, like it was cash. Finally, Amar Rava. Rava says, "Mereish Avimin. Originally, I thought Hani Arnike the Mechoza. These money sacks from Mechoza. These purses from Mechoza. Kiss and lay in most." Rashi says, "These bags that were filled with money from Mechoza. Isha Gova Parnamiyam. A woman could go collect her parna. Here we're using the parna as her ksuva, so she would be allowed to go collect. Never her husband passed away, so you're only really allowed to collect the ksuva from the karka that the husband had." Again, we already pointed out previously, the Gonim said that you can collect the ksuva even from the metaltli. But in the time of the Gemara, they can only collect from karka. So originally, Rava thought that these bags of money had the halakhic status of karka, and that she could collect the ksuva from them. Why? My timer. Because asmachtayu alayu, because she was counting on them. Because their husbands were in a cash business, and this was like it was karka, and they could collect from them. That's what Rav originally thought. However, once the woman collected these, Rav saw kiven dechazi deshokli lehu, and then the nafke, and then they would go out the kimishkache ara zavne behu, but then they would go and buy land with it. In other words, they were demonstrating that they really weren't so thrilled with the cash. They wanted to have karka. That's a much better way to hold on to your funds, and therefore amina asmachatayu aru, that the only real smach that you have for the ksuba is on karka, and in times of the war you can only collect the ksuba from the estate, from the orphans, from the yisomim, only if they had karka in the estate, and not these money bags. However, again, as I pointed out, the gonim later changed this and said you can collect the ksuba even from a tautli. Next Mishnah. Hamasias Vito Stam, if a man marries off his daughter without specifying how much of a dowry he's willing to give her, so in this situation, Lo Yivchos Law Mechamishim Zuz, the minimal amount that you give for even the poorest of people, as we'll see in Klal Yisrael, is Chamishim Zuz. Some of the Mefarshim explained that we just had Chamishim Zuz previously, saying that that's the amount of money that a husband has to supply his wife with clothing for a year. So this is at least that the Kala should come in and have clothing for the year. If she is so poor that there's nothing else, at least let her have the clothing for the year. Pasach lachnisa ruma. The father somehow got the chosin to agree that he wouldn't give her any nidunya whatsoever. In that situation, lo yomar habal kishachnisena lebesi achasena b'chsusi. So the husband obviously is going to have to support his wife, so he shouldn't say, when she comes into the nisuin, I'll go get her clothing then. But no. He should do this now. After they have the Erusin, he should already get her the clothing now. So she should have the clothing when she comes into the marriage, because that's what he agreed he was going to do anyway. At the time of the Nisuin, he would do it. So he should do it before the Nisuin. Because it's pasnis that she should come in with nothing except what she's wearing. So he should give her the clothing already then, before the Nisuin, so she comes in with her full clothing, so to say, allotment. Likewise, the Chayin Hamasiyas HaYisoma, Rashi explains here we're talking about a Gabay Tztaka that's marrying off Nebuch, an orphan girl. So he also, Lo Yivchos La Michamishim Zuz. He shouldn't give her less than Chamishim Zuz. Now, obviously, if the coffers of the Gabay Tztaka having the money, of course he's going to give her Chamishim Zuz. So the Mefarshim explained, here we're dealing with when they don't have the money. And yet he has to go out and borrow. He has to go raise the funds to give her at least Chamishim Zuz. Nobody should get married with less than Chamishim Zuz as the dowry, as we pointed out, for at least the clothing. Im Yesh Bakis, and if the coffers of the Gabay Tztaka, Baruch Hashem, are a little bit more full, so then, Mefarnesin Osa Lefi Kvoda. So then, you don't say, well, 50 Zuz is all we give out. No, you go and give her the appropriate amount of Nedunya that is as she, of a person of her socioeconomic status, should deserve. So, maybe she was a rich girl, and then her father lost all the money, or whatever the situation may be, so you give her based upon what she should have gotten, and not just the 50 zuz. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Amar Abaye, this 50 zuz is chamishim zuze pshite. We had this the other day as well. You had the plain, regular coins, the zuzim are called pshite, and then you had the kesef tsuri, which was 8 times as valuable. So you had the zuze of tsuri, the city of Tyre. They were 8 times more valuable. So when we said over here that you have to give 50 zuz, we're talking about the plain chamishim zuz, not the kesef tsuri. How do we know that? Mimai. So the Gemara tells us midiktani sefer, because the sefer says im yesh bakis, if the Baruch Hashem, the guy with stock, has a lot of money in the kids, mefaynis and osol, if he quoted, then you go give her what is considered appropriate for her socioeconomic status. Barina my kiss, and the Gemara asks, what does it mean, this kiss over here? So I'm a Rachva. Rachva says, Ayrik Yishol Stucker. This is, as I pointed out, this is the Gabbait Stucker funds that he's collected. Now, if you're telling me that it means that you have to give her, in our Mishnah, even the poorest of women, you give her Chamishim Zuz of Tzuri, the 8 times as much as the Pshite, so then, whoa, that's a lot of money. So when you're saying, Im Yesh Bakis, if the Gabbait Stucker has a lot of funds, so how much should you give her? Even a regular person doesn't often get, even a regular person of some substance doesn't get 400 zuz of the pshite. They only get a smaller type of a dowry, the kesef tsuri, to give chamishim that, which is 8 times as much as the pshite. So to give 400, 8 times 50 of the pshite would be a huge dowry, even for regular women, never mind an aniya b'Yisrael. And therefore, it must be el shmamino chamishim zuzi pshite. So when our Mishnah said, did you give her the minimum 50 zuz, it must be talking about the 50 zuz of the plain zuz and not the 50 zuz of kesef tsuri, because that would be a huge amount. Oh, kamashulam, that's a good raya. We learn in the following brayso, Tana Rabbanan, Yosom v'Yisom Shabol is Farnes. Nebuch, you have in front of you the Gabbait Stucker has to go and supply the needs of a Yosom, a boy orphan, v'Yisom, a girl orphan, and their needs need to be taken care of. But you don't have enough money to do both. So Mefarnes and say Yosom, we go and support the Yosom, the girl. V'Achikach, if you have additional funds later on, Mefarnes and say Yosom, then you can go support the boy as well. Why is that? Why does a girl get support for us? Because a boy can go out and beg, and that's not considered so unusual or a humiliation for the boy. But for a girl to go out in that way, in those days the women didn't go out, and for her to go out and beg is both dangerous and is very humiliating for her, so it's not proper for a woman to go do this. So therefore, if you can only support one, you give it to the girl and let the boy go out and beg. Similarly, Yosom v'Yisoma, if you have a Yosom and Yisoma coming to you to the Gabbait Stucker for marriage, and we turn to Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Shabbat Linosei, they're coming to the Gabbait Stucker to go and help them get married, so you don't have enough of both. So Messina say Yisoma, first you marry off the girl, and then if there's extra funds that you can get, V'yachakach Messina say Yosom, then you can go marry off the boy. Why is that again? Because it's greater humiliation and embarrassment for the woman not to be married than it is for the man. Tana Rabbanan, learning the following braisa, Yosom Shabalisa, if a boy comes, who's a Yosom, comes to get married, so what do we do for him? The Gabbait Stucker, Socher Lo Bais, we go rent a house for him, Umetzien Lo Mita, the whole clay, Tashmisho, we set the house up, we buy him a bed, we buy him the other essential kalim that he needs for the house, the Achakach, and only after that, Masien Lo Isha, do you go and make the Shidduch. Because you first have to have the house set up, and then you can go make the shidduch. And this is all based upon the following pasuk that we have from Parshas Re'eh. We just read this 2 weeks ago, and it says, "Shenemar dei machsoro asher yechsar lo." What does that mean? So we dash into as follows: "Dei machsoro." That's a reference to bais. You should give him enough for his needs. That's a reference to his house. Asher yechsar, that he's missing, zemita v'shulchan, he's missing the furniture, the furnishings, the bed, the table, etc., things like that, zemita v'shulchan, and lo, dei machsaro, asher yechsar lo, that's the wife, zuisha, that's a reference to, you got to give him a wife too, you got to go and make sure you give enough money to get married. V'cheinu omer, as we see from the famous pasuk, eslo ezer kinegdo, the chava was made as an ezer kinegdo, to help support Adam HaRishon. This is a famous statement that we always say, that the kala should be an ezer, that she should be a support to him. Sometimes the Mefarshim explained, that's by being kinegdo. Sometimes the wife has to say to the husband, hey, listen, what you're doing is not so ayayay. So sometimes she has to be kinegdo. But in general, it's an ezer to help support him. Okay. Tana Rabban and the Braisa that we're now going to quote says almost the same thing. Demach soro, what does that mean? Ata metzuva olav l'fainaso, that you have an obligation to go and help the yosom, the poor person, go and support him. Be'ata metzuva olav l'asho, but you only have to support him. You don't have to make him rich. So asho yechsa lo, but if he was a rich person who became poor, afilu sus lirikov olav yevid loris l'fonim, then you have to go give him to what he's accustomed to having. You have to even give him a horse if he's used to having a car. So you have to go buy him a car. He needed a horse to ride upon, so if he used to have that, now he Nebuch lost all his money, so you have to buy him a horse. The Evid Lawrence in front of him, he had an Evid running in front of him, you have to buy him an Evid. So every person, you have to look at what they were accustomed to, if it was appropriate that they were accustomed to it, as we'll see in stories in a moment of the Gemara, if they were not growing up in a rich home or were raised in a certain style, and they then became accustomed to a certain style, that's not what you have to supply them with. But if a person was raised in a certain level, and now he Nebuch lost it all, so if nobody knows that he lost it all, you have to go and support him in that style that he was used to beforehand. So if he needed a horse, he needed an Evid, you have to get it for him. And in fact, listen to this story. Amar lo Hillel Zokin, he said about Hillel Zokin, Shalokach li'oni ben tovi me'achot, he once took in a poor person who was from a very high level socioeconomic status, but Nebuch lost all his money. So he bought for him sus lirikovalov of the Everett Lawrence Lafonov. So he was in charge of the as the Gavet Stalker, and he purchased a horse for this guy and an Evet to run for him. And on the days when he couldn't hire the Evet, Pamachas Lomos Evet Lawrence Lafonov, so then he couldn't find an Evet, so he hired himself. He did it himself. The Lawrence Lafonov Shlosha Milan. And he himself ran and assisted this poor person for a run of 3 mil for 3 kilometers. The Ben Yod asks a very interesting question. He says, how is he allowed to do this? This was Hillel. This is the great Hillel. This is a busha. How could he treat his great position of Rabbanus in such a demeaning way? So Ben Yod says he disguised himself and nobody knew that it was Hillel. Talk about another Braisa. Maisa b'anshei Golul Elyon. The people that lived in the Golul Elyon had this following Maisa. Shalachu la'oni ben tovim echad. Mitzipori. The word right now from Mitzipori we're going to read is coming from the city of Tzipori. We'll see in a moment the beautiful pshat differently. But in any event, Shalachu la'oni ben tovim echad. They took a poor person who came from a very high socioeconomic status, and Nebuch had lost that, and they gave him litra basar b'chayom, and they supplied him with a litra, a certain measure of basar every day. Mor says that's not that much. Litra basar, my revusa. What's the big deal? That's the amount of meat that a person would eat in a day. So what's such a big deal? So one says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, no. Litra basa Michel ofos. They gave him a very, very expensive partridge, pheasant under glass. They gave him a bird, which was apparently more expensive than meat. So that's teretz number one. The boy same, alternatively, they actually gave him a litra's worth of coins, but litra basar mamish. They purchased meat, which was very, very expensive. It took a litra's worth of coins to go and purchase this basar mamish. That's what they had. Now, Rashi doesn't have the gear some mamish, but in any event, it means the same idea, that they took the coins that were worth a litra, and they gave him the basar with such an expensive amount of money to purchase it. I mentioned before the word mitzipari, the Ben Yada uses that for the first pshat that we just said. He said, they gave him mitzipari. They gave him from these fancy birds to go and eat, and that's what it meant, mitzipari. Okay. Rav Ashi is the third teretz, and he says, where this person lived, it was a very small little village, a little shtot, and b'chol yoma have a mafsid chayusa amitul tulei. Every day they would go shecht an animal in order to get this guy to have meat. In that town, the little town, they couldn't really have so much meat that they wouldn't go shecht an animal every day. But here, they shechted a whole animal for him, even though he only needed a litra's worth of basar, but they shechted the whole animal on his behalf. Now, why couldn't the small little town shecht an animal? What would be the big deal? So Ben Yehuda says, because if it happened to be a treifa animal, there weren't a lot of buyers in this small town, in a big city, so there's enough goyim that if it's a treifa animal, you'll be able to sell it. You won't lose your shirt. But here in this small town, if it turns out to be a treifa, so nobody's going to buy it, and they'll lose the whole animal. So therefore, that's why this was a big deal, that they went and shechted it for him, an entire animal. Once was a very poor person who came to Rav Nechaim and asked him to please give him food. So Amalei, so Rav Nechaim said to him, "But me'ata soi, no, what do you normally eat?" So this poor person upset. I eat very, very fancy stuff. Amalei, the basar shomein v'yayin yashan. I eat the fatty meat, which was considered a very expensive and high quality food. V'yayin yashan, an old wine, which is also considered very, very expensive. No, Rav Nechemi didn't have that. So Ritzoncha, he told him, would it be okay with you? I have lentils, a very low level food. So you're welcome to join me, but I don't have fatty meat and I don't have old wine. So the poor person didn't have much of a choice. So So he sat down and ate the adashim, the lentils, with him for mace, and he died. He was used to eating very, very fancy stuff, and this stuff wasn't acceptable to his body, and he ended up dying. So Rav Nechemi says in response to this incident, and he says, Oy lo lazeh, woe is to this person, sharogu Nechemia, that Nechemia ended up killing him by giving him lentils, but he didn't place the blame upon himself. He said, woe is to this person that he was never killed by Nechemia. So the Gemara says, Adirabba, he should have said a little bit stronger, Oy lo Nechemia, woe is to Nechemia, sharogu lazeh, that he killed this person, Rebailei. That's what he should have said. Instead of accenting on the poor person that died, he should have said, woe is to Nechemia, that killed this poor person by not giving him what he deserved to have. So the Gemara says, no. Elo ihu, hu deloi boyale lefanuke nafshe kule hai. This is different than a guy that was raised and born in a higher level socioeconomic status, and that's the way he was treated since birth. And therefore, he's expected to have the tzedakah give him a higher level of food. But no, in the case where this poor person came to Nechemia, he was a poor person. He was raised as a poor person, and he acquired very expensive tastes. So that's on him. That was his fault. He shouldn't have acquired such expensive tastes. You're a poor person. So don't expect to be fed filet mignon and pheasant on the glass. You're a poor person. Be happy with lentils. He trained himself to need pheasant on the glass. Then it's his own fault. And that's why Rav Nechemia said, woe is to this poor person that he trained himself to be this way. And he ended up being killed by Nechemia. Again, Rav Nechemia was taking a certain amount of blame on himself. He didn't have any more food. What could he do? But he didn't take the full blame. Another Maaseh Shaya, how do you also come into Rava? Once was a poor person came to Rava and also asked for food. So Amalav, Rava said to him, no, what level of food are you accustomed to having? So Amalav, he said to him, me, betarnegoles, betuma, I have pheasant on the glass, I have this barburim, right? We say in the Zmiros, barburim, slavu slav v'dogim. So betarnegoles, betuma is a fattened hen, that's barburim. The yain yashan, and also old wine. In other words, very, very expensive stuff. So Rava says to him, Amalav, you accustom yourself to having such very fancy stuff, but you're a pauper. You're a poor person. You know that the zebra's going to have to feed you. So if you're eating Cheerios or peanut butter, so okay, the zebra can afford it. But now you want to be fed pheasant on the glass and old fancy wine, so you're causing a difficult time for the zebra to support you in these lavish tastes. So the poor person said, what? I'm not being supported by the tzibur. Atu miditu kachilna. You think I'm eating from you? No, midirachmana kachilna. This poor person had true emunah. And he said, you're not feeding me. You're just the shaliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give me what I want. So I'm not causing a hardship on the tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give me whatever he wants. And I'm expecting this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tanina, as we learned in the Braisa, Einechol elechi sabayru, all people look to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with hope, and you go give them what they need to eat, bi'ito, in his time. That's what it means. But bi'ito, in their time, lo nemar. So what's the drash over here? Ela bi'ito, meaning in his time, that comes to teach us, malami shekol echa v'yecha nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu parnasaso bi'ito. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every single person the parnasa in the proper time. Meaning, over here, in that person's time, bi'ito. Now, what happened? What's the outcome over here of the story? Rava didn't have pheasant on the glass, didn't have tarnagolas petuma, and yayin yashan. So listen what happened. Adahachi, while this story is going on, asai achse de Rava, along comes Rava's sister, who he hasn't seen, the lo chazile tlesre shnei, hasn't seen this sister for 13 years, and she finally comes to visit him. She must have been out of town. She comes to visit her brother. And she brings with him a gift of tarnigolas betuma for yayin yashan. And she brings to him this fattened chicken and yayin yashan, an old wine. Rava's amazed. Amar, Rava says, "My dekama, what happened over here? Ma dovazera," she says, "shira lefanai ata. I never have this. I'm not used to this. I don't get this." And all of a sudden, on this day, when this poor person comes in who says, "I am accustomed to having these fattened chickens and old wine, all of a sudden I get it." Amale, Rava said to the poor person, he says, no, you're 100% right. Nanesi loch. As Rashi says, I basically spoke too much. Dibarti yosemidai. I shouldn't have been so hard on you. I shouldn't have said that you're being a hardship on the tzibur. No, you're 100% right. Read the Rachmana Koichonu. You need from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And nu, komechol. Nu, we have food. I'm going to join you on your meal. This is your meal. I'm going to join you, and we're going to eat together what my sister brought me. Tanurabad, we have another braisa. Ain lo, if a person doesn't have any funds, can't support himself, but he doesn't want to rely on stock of Ainur Rosal is fighting. So what are you supposed to do? The guy's going to starve. So what's the Gabit stock is supposed to do? So we tell him, Rosal lo, the Shum Havah. Oh, we'll lend you the money. Then, when he doesn't have the ability to pay, we say it's a matana. Right. A person who's poor says, listen, I'm not taking stocker. But you say, how about taking a loan? Says, okay, that he might be willing to take. So that's what the Gabit stocker should do. Divi Ramei. You first give it to him as a loan, and then when he can't pay it back, you say it's okay, it was a matana. That's Ramei's opinion. Chacham Momrim, Nosin Lo Lashum Matana, you give it to him as a matana, and then, Becholz Yiv, Nosin Lo Lashum Abba, and then you go make him pay it back. Where it says, what? Lashum Matana? How does it make any sense? Halo Shakil, the guy's not willing to take it as a matana. So how does it do us any good to say we're giving it to him as a matana? So where it says, Amar Rav, this is what the rabbis meant. Liv toach lo lushu matana. We first try to give it to him as a matana. He's a poor person, and he really needs the assistance. But if he's a proud poor person and doesn't want to take tzedakah, so then we go and give it to him as a loan. And then if he can't pay back the loan, gives him the hate, not a problem. Bryce continues and says, yeish lo, if a person does have money, vein or runs in his finances, but he doesn't want to pay for it out of his own pocket. He's so stingy, he wants to have the tzedakah coffers go and pay for his meals. And he keeps his money in the bank. He doesn't want to spend his money on himself. So the Tanakhama, this price says, no solo lishum matana, we give it to him as a matana, but then v'chozvin iframi menu, but then we make him pay it back. Where it says, but if you make him pay it back, he's not going to take it. V'chozvin iframi menu, too low shakil. So that doesn't accomplish anything. The guy's going to starve. So where it says, it doesn't mean we pay him back while he's alive. I'm a papa, liachamisa. The guy has a huge bank account. So we'll give it to him now without charging him. Without charging him, we'll keep a tab, and then when the guy passes away, we'll take it from his estate. Bryce continues, Rabbi Shimon has a different opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yeshlo, if the person has money, the ain't a rosa his bodies, but he doesn't want to go and use it, so ain't niskokilo. We don't go and deal with him. We say, tough luck, buddy. If you die of lack of food, it's your own problem. You have plenty of money. As the Tosus Rid says, Yeshlo, if ain't a rosa his bodies, ain't no slow. We don't have to go and give it to him. It's not our responsibility. If you're a cheap guy, so then it's your own problem. If you have money in the bank and you don't want to support yourself, the base then, the gizbar, the guy might stuck, it doesn't have to go support you. But Ainlo, if he doesn't have Vayner Rosal Spinis, and he's a person who's proud and doesn't want to take tzedakah, so then Rabbi Shimon says, Om lo have mashko and vital. So then we tell him, listen, go bring us a collateral, and then we'll give you the money. So in this way, the poor person thinks, okay, this is like a regular loan, they're taking collateral, and then the Mefarshim explained, even if he doesn't have collateral, we still give him the money, and the poor person won't be too proud to take it in that situation, because they really mean it as a loan, and they know that I'm going to pay it back, and even though I don't have a collateral, because I'm so poor, but they ask for a collateral, so it's really like a loan. And this way, Kadesh Tazuach Daito Love, and this way he doesn't feel bad, and he's willing to take the money, even though he's a very proud person, and doesn't want to rely upon stock. Another brayse, the Tanur Rabbanan, the pasuk says Havei Tavitenu. What does that mean? It's a double lashon. So Havei means Zesh Ein Lo. A person doesn't have any funds. They ain't a rosal spanis, but he doesn't want to rely upon staka. So for such a person, Shenosin Lo Lishum Hava, as we pointed out, you give it to him as the Hava, and then when he can't pay it back, because of no solution matan. If he can't pay it back, we give it to him as a matan. No, if he's able to pay it back, isn't that? Why does it say Tavitenu the second time? This is a reference that Sheishlo, a person does have funds, Vayner Rosal Spinis, but he doesn't feel like supporting himself. He'd rather have the tzedakah support him. So such a person, we say to him, Shenosu lo lushum matana, we give it to him as a matana, v'chozun ifrana, men v'nachamisa. But then, we keep a tab, and when the guy dies, so we take it from his estate. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham Omrim, Tosus points out, this is Rabbi Shimon that we just had. Yeshlo vein arosa l'spani sein is kokolo. If the guy has money and he doesn't want to spend it on himself, so tough luck. It's not our responsibility. And therefore, we don't have to pay him. Now, that was the explanation that Rabbi Yehuda gave for the second word, Tavitenu. According to Rabbi Shimon, why does it say the second word, Tavitenu? There's no drasha from it. So Gemara says, Velamani Mekayim Tavitenu, according to Rabbi Shimon, why is the pasuk say Havei Tavitenu? So this is just Dibra Torah Kelosh Bnei Adam. This is a way of emphasis, like it says, Sokol Yisokel, you shall certainly go and give skill to the person. It's a Loshon of emphasis, a Loshon of the way people speak emphatically. Tosus points out, but that's not Rabbi Shimon's opinion. That was a different opinion. So how can you tell me this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion? Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. So the Tosus explains. Now, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that when you have no alternative way to explain it, then we say Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. But Rabbi Shimon holds that if there is a different way to interpret it, so that we don't use this Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam unless you have no alternative explanation. Now we're going to have three stories about Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva haba anya b'shivuse. There was a poor person who lived in Mar Ukva's neighborhood, and Mar Ukva went to go and support him. So the haba rogel koyom with the shodile arba zuze b'tzinor d'dasha, and he did this secretly. Matan b'seis is a much higher form of tzedakah. So what he did was he put four zuzim every day into the tzinor d'dasha. Rashi explains that tzinor d'dasha is like a hole chur she b'miftan. It's in the floor of the doorway. The tzir hadela sovi button. This is like the pivot they would put the door hinge into, and it was able to have room for some coins in there. So every day, Mar Ukva went to this guy's house and put four zuz in his dasha, the tzinor of the dasha. Now, Yom Echad Amar, the poor person was very thankful. He wanted to meet with his benefactor. So Ezel Erze Man Ka'avid Bi Ha'utivusa. So he said, I'm going to find out today who's giving me this extra money. I want to thank them. They're such a kind person. But that very day, how Yoma Nago Lemar Ukva LeBeimid Rasha. That day, instead of coming at the regular time that he normally came, so he was delayed in the base medrash. So when he got home, he went with his wife to go and put the money into the Tzinor D'dasha. So Asya Devisu Bade. His wife came with him because it was at nighttime now. He normally came during the daytime, but it was nighttime. You don't go alone at night, so his wife came with him. Kivin de Chazyu to come Matzle LeDasha. So this poor person's waiting and hiding, and he sees that there's a person putting in the money into the Tzinor D'dasha. So Nafak B'Tavai, he runs out after them to thank them. But they said, uh-oh, we don't want him to see who it is. He's going to be very embarrassed if he sees us. So Rot Mikame, so they ran away from him. Nu, where are they going to hide? Aile Laho Atuna, they go inside into a oven, the Hava Grufa Nura, that had previously been heated up. It now, there was no fire there, but the coals were still inside, and they were very, very hot. So they ran into this oven. Hava Ka Mikhail Yon Kare de Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva's wife, her feet weren't burnt at all, but Mar Ukva's feet were starting to burn. So Amalei Devisu, his wife says to him, stand on my feet. Shekol Karech Osiv Akar Ai. Go put your feet on top of my feet, and my feet aren't burning, so your feet won't burn when they're on top of my feet, and you'll be fine. Now, Mar Ukva was very, very upset. Chalish Daite says, my wife is a bigger tzaddik than me. Not that he was upset that his wife was a bigger tzaddik than me. He said, what's wrong with me? How come I wasn't zocha to the same nisim that my wife is zocha to? So Amalei, his wife told him, don't be upset. Two reasons. Ano shchichno begavei debesa. I am always in the house. Rashi explains, Vaniyim motzin osi. The Aniyim know to come to my house, and I'm always there. You're in the base medrash. They don't know where to find you. Vaniyim motzin osi, lefikach zchusin gadol. So therefore, I'm the primary person they come to for giving away our tzedakah funds. So therefore, my feet didn't burn. And second of all, omikriva han yosi, that the tzedakah that I give is food. As Rashi says, omikriva han yosi, han osi mizumenes, I am giving them food. Shani mechalekes lechem ubasu umelach. I give them food that they can eat right then and there. They're a starving ani, and they get immediate satisfaction. Avo ato, what do? You're in the base medrash. You're in the market, wherever you are, and the poor person comes up to you, so you give him $10. No sin most. That poor person then has to go torchem mekonim suda. He has to go find the restaurant that's open. He has to go find the food to cook it for him. I give them ready food, and therefore the hanah that they get from me is better than the hanah that they get from you. And therefore my feet weren't burned at all from the fire, from the coals in the fire, whereas your feet were a little bit singed. Mar says, why did they run away? Well, Michael, yeah, what would have been so terrible if the poor person saw who they were? No, he would have been very embarrassed when he sees it's the God of Adar feeding him, but okay, nish gefarlich. So Mar says, yeah, big gefarlich. Yeah, it's a big problem. Amar Mazutra Bar Tuvi Amar Rav, Mazutra Bar Tuvi Sayyidina Rav, or others say Rami Law Amar Rav Huna Bar Bizna, Amar Shimon Chasida, that it was Rav Huna Bar Bizna said the name of Shimon Chasida, others say Rami Law Amar Yochan Mishim Shimon Yochai, it was Yochan said it over the name of Shimon Yochai, Noach Loliyah, the Mishim Shuatsu Tok Kivshana Eish, the Ayim Pne Chadero Barabim. It's better for a person to throw himself to a fire, exactly like this story was, than to go and embarrass somebody else. And where do we know this from? Minolan, Mitamar. This is from Yehuda's originally daughter-in-law, and then subsequently his wife. Dechsev, Himut says, when the whole Maisa with Tamar in Chumash, that she had relations with Yehuda, and then it turns out that she was pregnant, and he wants to go and kill her because he thought she was Mezana, so she didn't speak up, because that would have been a terrible busha to Yehuda. So, Himut says, she was about to be taken out, when Yehuda realized when she said, you know, whose stick is this? Whose bag is this? So Yehuda says, Tzarko mimeni, she was more righteous than I. So he embarrassed himself. That's allowed. But she wouldn't embarrass him. So we learn now from this famous Maisa from Tamar. There's a Tosus in Soda that tells us that this is Yehari Vayavar. Tosus applies it so much so that you have to go and let yourself be thrown into the fire. Go into the Kivshan Eish. This is one of the three cardinal sins. Why is that? Because this is really like Ritzicha. When a person becomes embarrassed, the blood drains from their face. They become white in the face. So it's a little bit of an Abizrayu of Ritzicha. It's as if this is Ritzicha. And therefore, while we may not pass in this Halach L'maisa, he says this is Yarig Vayabar. That's why you have to throw yourself in the Kivshan Eish. Tamar was willing to be killed. Marukva and his wife ran into the fire. They didn't know that they were into the oven. They didn't know that they would be saved in order not to embarrass this poor person. Another Maisa with Marukva. Marukva have Ani Bishivusa. There was another poor person in Marukva's neighborhood. The Hava Rogula Shadurile Arba Me'azuzi Komala Yom Kippur. He would go give him 400 zuz every Erev Yom Kippur. The Marsha brings down that he wanted an extra zuchus on Yom Kippur, so that's why Bidafka did this every Yom Kippur. Or alternately, the poor person had no food to have a Suda before Yom Kippur, and he would be starving every Yom Kippur. Certainly, much so, he'd be starving on Yom Kippur. That's why Bidafka gave it to him on every Yom Kippur. In any event, Yom Echad Shadrunu Nia Lebiad Brei. He did this every year, and one year he sent his son to go bring the money. Also, his son comes back, Amale, he says to his father, says to Marukva, Lo Tzarech, the guy no longer needs the money. No, what did you see? Marukva says to him that he doesn't need the money. Amar Mai Chazis, so he said, the son tells his father, Chazai, I saw the Komezalfe Leyayin Yosher. He's sprinkling his dirt floors. He used to have dirt floors. And instead of sprinkling it with water, he's sprinkling it with old wine. Very, very expensive taste this guy has. He doesn't need your money. So, Maruka says, of course he does. Omar Mefane Kulihai, he's such a Mefunak. He's such a person, he's a fussy person, that he can't even sprinkle his floors of his house with water. He has to sprinkle it with old wine. I have to send him more money. He's obviously a very high socioeconomic class, and I have to support him in the measure that he's used to. So I finu v'shadrinu niale, and therefore he gave him an extra amount of money. He sent his son back, and he doubled it. Rashi says I finu means kaflinu. He doubled the money that he gave him. So he originally gave him 400, now he gave him 800. Finally, the third ma'aseh with Marukva, ki konicha nafshe, when Marukva was on his deathbed, so Omar, he said, Aisuli chush b'nai d'tztaka. Bring to me my ledgers with all the tztaka funds that I've given out. I want to make sure I gave enough tztaka during my lifetime. Nu ashkach, they found, the Havik Sibbe, it was written there that he'd given away shivas alfe dinore si'anki. He'd given away 7,000 of these dinarim that came from a place called Si'anki, which was a much more expensive dinar than the regular dinar. So he gave away a phenomenal amount of money to tztaka. And yet he wasn't happy. Omar Marukva said, Zivadoi Kalile, my provisions to go on this long trip, meaning going to the Olama Emes, is very light. I didn't bring enough with me. And it's a long road. In other words, he's saying, I don't have enough zechusim. Imagine that. Marukva said he doesn't have enough zechusim. So what did he do? Kom bazbezeh lepal gemamone. So on his deathbed, he gave away half of his estate to tzedakah. Now, the more he asked the obvious question, how are you allowed to do this? Hechi ovid hachi. After all, Babam Rabbi Loi, we just had this on Daf Nun, that a person is not allowed to give away more than 20% of his money. You have to give away 10%, again, with lots of particular dinim and detail to that, but the maximum you give is 20%, so how could he give away half of his estate on his deathbed? So Gemara says, no, the reason why you're not allowed to give it away during your lifetime is because then you become impoverished and you become a tircha on the tzibur. So you can't give away so much money that now you'll be destitute and the tzibur will have to support you. But a guy that's about to die has no such concerns. So in your lifetime, you can't give away more than 20%. But on your deathbed, you don't have to be concerned because Shema Yerid Min Chosav, because in your lifetime, we have to be concerned that you'll become giving away all of your money and you'll fall upon the Kupat Staka. Aliachamisa Les Lambat, there's no such concern. And again, as I pointed out then on Daf Nun, there are many other heterim if people want to give away more tztaka. But essentially, the whole reason is that you shouldn't become a poor person and fall upon the tztaka coffers, so on your deathbed, that's not going to happen. Now, I should point out that the Marsha said, how was the poor person in the previous story allowed to take the 800 zuz? After all, you take so much money, you're no longer an ani. So the answer is that if you get it all in one lump sum, then the ani is allowed to take it. Okay. Rababa Havatsoyer Zuze Bisudare, Rabbi Abba's way of giving tzedakah was he put it in a kerchief behind his back, Bishali Lilachari, he slung it over his shoulder. And therefore the poor people could walk behind them without him seeing them, and they could take it without being embarrassed. However, umatzle einei miramoy. But he looked around enough that he could make sure that no fakers were taking it. He didn't want people to disguise themselves as poor people and take it. So he didn't see who the poor people were, but he could tell who was a real poor person and who was a faker. Rabbi Chanina have a ho anya. Rabbi Chanina had a certain poor person. He would give him four zuz every Erev Shabbos. No, one time he couldn't go and bring it himself, so he sent his wife. So he sent his wife to go bring the poor person the money. When she came back, she told him, the guy's rich, he doesn't need the money. So he asked her, again, my chazis, what did you see that you're saying he doesn't need the money? So she said, Shami, I heard that they were asking him, what would you like to go and eat on tonight? In other words, what type of fancy tablecloths would you like to eat on tonight as we turn to Samach Chesel and Aleph? Would you like to have bitlei kasef or bitlei zov? As Rashi says, b'mapel shel pishto levonos or b'shel meshi. You want to have the fancy white linen tablecloths or the silk tablecloths? In other words, he was very wealthy. So Amar, so Rav Chanina said, hi, and the Amar Rilaza. This is now we can understand what Rilaza said, that if a poor person comes to take tzedakah incorrectly, so he saves us. Bo v'nachzik tov l'ramoyin, that we have to go and thank those people that are ramoyin, that are cheats, and take tzedakah inappropriately. Because of them, we sometimes don't give tzedakah. Shilmalei hein, if it wasn't for them, we would be in a lot of trouble, because everybody who came to us to ask for money would be legitimate. And then, how come we didn't give them? So, hayinu chotim b'chol yom, we would be sinners every single day. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'kor lech l'ashem b'yabuchet, that we don't give to these poor people, it looks terrible for us. But now that they're people that are Ramayim, so we have a little bit of an out by saying, oh, we thought this guy was a Ramay, and he was a cheater, he didn't really need the tzedakah money, and therefore we didn't give it to him. And Ruchi Barav Midifti said the following b'risa, Rishum and Karach Omer, Kol Hamalim Einam in tzedakah, if somebody doesn't give tzedakah, he looks away, and makes like he doesn't see it, he'll over to Vodas Kachavim. It's as if he's worshiping with a Zara. How do we know that? Because Ksiv Hacha, it says in regard to not giving tzedakah, Yisham l'cha pentyeh ben yeh dobar im levavcha bilial, bli ol. So it uses the lashon of bli ol over here. Uksiv Hasam, and it says over there, in regards to Avodah Zarah, Yatsu anoshim b'nei v'lial. The people went out, and they worshiped Avodah Zarah. So you see this lashon of bilial, a person without an ol, without a yoke over him, both by not giving tzedakah and by worshiping Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it's referring to Avodas Kochavim. So therefore, we say it's like you're worshiping Avodas Kochavim if you don't give tzedakah. Finally, Tana Rabban, the Braisa continues and says, "Hamasameis Eino." If a person makes himself like he's blind, Rashi says, "Mares Asmo Kilu Einov Smuya." If a person makes believe like he's a blind person, he's really not blind. Or Hamatzbez Bitno. Or if a person goes and makes himself look like he is, in fact, starving. A starving person has a big stomach. It's ascites. It's because he has no food, so all the fluid leaks out of his body and goes into spaces, and he gets a bloated belly. So the guy puts a pillow in his shirt, and it looks like he's bloated. Likewise, if a person goes, Rashi says, Kilu shoko nichvetzes, he makes himself look like he's lame. So in all of these things, he's trying to fool people into thinking that he has some terrible illness or some terrible problem, they should give him tzedakah. So the bottom line is, Eino niftar min ha'olam ad she'yavo lidikach. Hashem will be appropriate. Just like you try to make yourself blind, Hashem will make you blind. You try to make yourself swollen from hunger, Hashem will make you swell from hunger. You try to make yourself lame, Hashem will make your leg lame. Furthermore, ha'makabu tzokh v'eino tzorach l'kach, and if somebody takes tzedakah when he really doesn't need it, eventually, sofo, eino niftar min ha'olam ad she'yavo lidikach. Hashem will make it that the guy actually doesn't leave this world before he actually is destitute and does in fact go and need to take tzedakah. Again, the dafim are beautiful, they're very long, so I apologize for the length of the shiur, but with this we conclude today's shiur.